If I have to take a break, would it be okay to take like a 5-minute break, just a second to calm him down, and we'll get back to it. I'd be really sorry about that. Okay, so where was I? We discovered that we were pregnant at the exact same time. This is the little one that the testimony is about. 9 months, I'm 9 weeks old now, and decided that he's real hungry now. hold on just 1 second, and I'll be right back.
Somebody's taking over the mic.
That little guy's taking over the mic. Praise the Lord. Yes, she'll be back. Lord bless that baby. Bless that baby in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Fill his plate or fill his tummy.
That's right. Fill his plate or fill his tummy.
So,
thank you, Father.
Dave, you know, as you were sharing the testimony on the property being sold, you know, these are divine appointments that are set up by the Lord. And that is just the beginning, you know. I think of several times I use your testimony and theories with different individuals here at the Bible study, and that is just the opening, the first step into the courtyard per se for the individuals and the people that we're speaking to. You know, how it mushrooms from there, and how that God waters it from there. It's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal that these things are. That's why I say I encourage and I challenge everyone just to take a step out into individuals that you're meeting at the gas station, the convenience store, the opening of a door to an elderly woman, all these places, Walmarts, department stores, the grocery stores, just to reach out in faith and listen to the Holy Spirit, and He has a word for individuals, and this is the time, and God is just, He's moving in these directions.
Amen. David wants to move through us.
Yeah, Kurt. I went out today. I've got a pop-up camper, and I felt led of the Lord to go out to some of these camps, you know, where you set them up and stuff, and just be there for a witness. And I was looking for one because I never did this before. I never had one of these before. Don't know how to use them, and so I just wanted to get the feel of it. And I went to we're on the other side of the Funiac, and looking for a place to set up a camper, you know, that would have, you know, the facilities I needed, enough people that it would be, you know, profitable to go there. At any rate, the first place I went to was way out in the boonies. It was I didn't think I was ever going to get there. In fact, I was thinking maybe I needed to turn around and go back, because where could this place be? So I got all the way out there, and then the road started smoothing out and looking like, you know, it was habitable. And I pulled on into the area. I didn't even know it was open. Some campers were already there. And I heard this lady say, come on in. I didn't even see her, you know. So I went on in and sat down, and for a good 30 minutes, we had the most wonderful fellowship, just she and I. She turned out to be a Christian too, and boy, I mean, it was like he was saying, a divine appointment. I mean, everything she said was so right on, and it was like that was where I was supposed to be at that particular time. You know, I didn't really have any intentions of going back there as far as, because it was just too far out. But I knew I was to be there for that lady, just for that conversation, for that moment. And I'm just sort of on cloud nine all day coming back, you know, because she was a widower after 12 years and had moved out of California, really, and this is out in the, you know, the Phoenix Springs is way out in the wilderness, if you want to put it that way. And she was out in the middle of nowhere, and she said she was just loving it, you know, living in a filth dweller and running that place and everything. And she just felt like this is where God had her be, you know, for the time, you know. And so, and we even agreed that I was supposed to be there at that moment. You know, she says, I believe you are too, you know. Like he was saying, it's just when you know you're in the will of the Lord, there's just perfect peace. And there's a calm in it. So I just praise the Lord for today and for that lady and the faith that she was displaying to me.
Well, I think Lisa's back with us, so we'll try it again. Mm-hmm.
Okay, hello. Sorry about that. Okay, so we discovered that we were pregnant. We found out that we got pregnant January 8th, 2004. And so my sister and my brother, their pregnancy came, and they, as a prayer to the Lord, they had prayed that if the Lord would give them my brother a job that would be better than the one that he had, so that his wife could stay home and be a mom and a wife, you know, that they would begin having children and raise them up to him. And so they prayed this, and they went to go and have a baby, and apparently that night the Lord blessed them and they became pregnant right away. And then 2 weeks later, as I was saying earlier, my sister asked me if there was a chance that I was pregnant. You know, that was, I had no idea that what was going on with them. And, you know, I had wanted a little one for a while, and it really did come to a surprise to me as well that the Lord had said this to me. But at the same time, you know, my husband had said, you know, that it wasn't time. And to be honest, although I was working real hard at being a good wife and not, and basically giving anything that I might think was right or wrong with my children or with my husband and the ways that they did things or said things, I really wanted a baby. And I really just wasn't listening to my husband, and I wasn't trying to make my will his in this case. And so I was pretty excited. And at the same time, I was scared to tell him that we were going to have one. And so sometime after, I talked to my sister, and I told her, you know, what the Lord had told me. It became time for my cycle to come, and, you know, I didn't expect it to come, and it didn't. And another week went by, and another week went by, and then one day I was at Myers, and I went past the pregnancy test, you know, and I hadn't actually had anything for my eyes to see. And I, you know, thought, I should get one of those. Then as soon as I thought that, I thought, you know, who told me that I was? What do I need that for? But then I thought, you know, I really want one. So then, I asked the Lord, and I said, you know, Lord, if you want me, you know, to not get a pregnancy test, and I know that you would want me to just stand on what you told me, but if you want me to not get a pregnancy test, then stand on your word, or confirm to me your word, you know, and give me a sign that indeed, you know, you did say that to me. And so I didn't happen to have any coins on me, according to David's example, with his children's name, and we had just learned about the lot, and so I took my license out, and I said, you know, well, if it would stay up, that'd be enough for me, and I just believed that, you know, that what he told me was true. So I put my license down the aisle at Myers, and it came out head up, and I was just excited. I was so excited, and I think it was better than a pregnancy test. Then, but something happened to me between Myers and my home, and when I got home, I can't exactly tell you what happened in my mind, but I went to the Lord once again, and I definitely had some doubt, and I told him, I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry that I have to ask you again, you know, and I do believe you, and at the same time, I'm having a problem. So I asked him again, and I flipped a couple of coins down the hallway at my house, and they all came up heads. And, well, after that, I really was able to walk in faith with that. Like I said, we were just learning, and we were still real babies of having some faith in the Lord and believing the things that He said were true and not walking by sight and stuff. So it was still pretty new to us. And so I went, and at this time I told my husband, you know, we're going to have a baby. And, well, even though he said, you know, we should wait, he was really excited too. And so then after that, we started to look for a midwife. And my sister looked online, and she found a midwife who was a believer. And the write-up that she had online at the midwifery site was really awesome. It sounded like the midwife had a lot of faith, and she sounded like somebody that would not only be able to deliver our babies, but would also be somebody that we could fellowship with and confide in and talk to and go through this with. And it was the first time that we had decided to have a baby at home, but, you know, now we were in the Lord, so we weren't going to doctors anymore. And my husband was a little scared about that, but I feel the Lord must have placed in his heart an amount of peace to be able to stand in the right to be found. So, we started, I think I was probably in my third month or so. No, maybe I was in my second month. It was the end of my second month. My midwife invited, before I had any prenatals at all, she had invited us to her house for a Bible study night. And she had a lot of people from her church come over. And the purpose for her inviting us was for us to give our testimony about how we had been brought out of witchcraft, and to share with them some things to watch out for, especially like the younger kids, a lot of teenage kids. And so anyway, we shared our testimony. And sometime during the testimony, I ended up sharing my testimony about what the Lord had told me. It was in reference to something else we were talking about. And I could see it immediately. I felt at the very first thought of giving this testimony to people, I thought how foolish I will sound. But then the spirit in me was much stronger than my fear, and it ended up just pouring out of my mouth, you know. And I was excited to give it. But as I was giving it, and my soul was rejoicing and giving this testimony that was still so very young. I mean, it was only the first part of this testimony. I could see the faces of the people, and well, I can tell you they probably never heard of such a thing, because it didn't seem like to me their faces reflected any more than faithless being something that you call yourself, like Presbyterian or Baptist or like that. But they were really nice people, and you know, they didn't get upset with me or anything, but I could see it. And it reflected much in the months to come every time I went to a prenatal in my midwife. We started going to prenatal soon after that, and the very first time I went to my prenatal, I was now into my third month, and she used little baby monitor, I don't know what they're called, I don't know, something to listen to the baby's heartbeat. And she was looking for the baby's heartbeat and looking, and then she found it. And it was just brief, you know, he was still very little. And she found it, and then she bounced around some other place in there. But, you know, we talked about some other things. At first I could just hear it in her voice and see it on her face, but she didn't say anything specifically. After that first visit, I talked with her a couple times on the phone, and she had shared with me how she wanted, or that the Lord had given her a dream three or so years before that she was going to have three more kids. And her and her husband had been trying to have more kids, but it just wasn't happening. It had been quite a few years, When I talked to her on the phone, she told me that they started going to fertility clinic, and she was taking this medicine that was, I think, supposed to make her ovulate or something, or, I don't know. It was supposed to do something, but it wasn't doing its job, and I told her, you know, if the Lord told you that you were going to have, you know, more children, you know, then you should just believe him, you know, you should just trust him, and you should ask him. If you're having a hard time standing out like he told you, ask him to confirm what he said to you, you know, to build up your faith and, you know, to get guidance from him and direction so that you can be patient. And she told me that she was afraid. She was afraid of what he was going to say. Maybe that he might have changed his mind or something. So she wanted a baby, regardless of what God wanted. And she didn't say that part, but that is what it was, you know. She wanted one, and she was afraid. So, well, after this conversation, time went by, and I went to my next appointment with her. And this time, you know, she wasn't able to find the baby's heartbeat, and she didn't seem to be too alarmed about it concerning me. But I still could hear it in her voice that she just wasn't sure. And I was listening to God. I hadn't gone and got a test, and I didn't go to the doctor. And now she couldn't hear the baby's heartbeat. And so the next time I went, this time she couldn't hear the baby's heartbeat again. And this time I am at the beginning of my fifth month, I think. And she's definitely now, it definitely has built in her. And you can see it, and you can hear it in her size. You can tell when she is checking for the baby with her Doppler everywhere and looking and she is expecting. You know, I'm almost 5 months now, and I'm 5 months now, and she's like, I should be able to hear the baby, you know, anywhere, really. I should be able to find out these quite easily. And she is real discouraged. And I am also now getting discouraged. And I am walking through trials where I am like, Lord, you know, please help me keep believing you. And, you know, she couldn't find a baby's heartbeat, and you know, soon I began not wanting to come back. I didn't want to go back. I just wanted to believe him. I didn't want to be put in this position anymore where, you know, her lack of faith in this thing the Lord had told me was really starting to become heavy in my head with thoughts, and it was pretty hard anyway. And I went, the last time I went, I was in my 6 months, and she looked at the baby's heartbeat, and she had measured my stomach to find the top of my fundus, which is the top of my uterus. And at this time, you know, she couldn't find it. She had measured it before, but she just said that it was possible. Yeah, she was trying. She really was trying to believe, and I know she was having the same struggles that I was having. And she measured the top to find out my fundus this time, but she couldn't find it. And she said, you know, I should be able to find it. And my two sisters-in-law, just a week before this, when I was at my mom's house, they said, you know, lay down on the floor, you know, we want to feel the baby and stuff. And by this time, you know, the baby was moving about quite a lot, and, you know, they wanted to see if they could find the top of my fundus, because in my 6 months, she couldn't find it either. And I laid down, you know, I didn't know anything about it, you know, I didn't know what I was looking for, and they were feeling around, and they felt it. They felt the top of it, and it was pretty hard, and it was about the place it was supposed to be in, according to how far along I was. And so, you know, I didn't think anything of it. I didn't know anything about it, and when she couldn't find it, and she couldn't find the baby's heartbeat again, she said to me, when she sat down, afterwards, she crossed her legs and folded her arms, and she said with a sigh, you know, do you think that the Lord could have lied to you, you know, to get you to stop using some protection so that he could get you pregnant? And, you know, I wasn't quite sure what she had said to me at first, but my sister-in-law was there, my brother was there, and, I forgot to tell you, booked beforehand, she looked at the car seat this time, and I was telling her where to put it because the baby was moving, you know, I could feel him, you know, bumping up and moving around and stuff in certain places, and I was like, you know, put it right there, he's right there. And she put it right there, and the baby kicked the Doppler, and you could hear, you know, the thud on the, you know, like if I were to hit the microphone, you could hear it. And you could hear it, and it bumped the whole Doppler up, and she wasn't looking at it, and she looked down at the Doppler, and, yeah, she was, I saw it, yeah, I saw it in her face, you know, like she saw it, and my sister and my brother all both saw it too, and it, but she couldn't hear the heartbeat, and she couldn't find the thunder, so she didn't know what to think about that. So anyway, she was sitting down on the couch, and she asked me this question, and my sister laughed out loud. You know, like she was trying not to be, you know, participate in what was going on with me and my appointment, but, and I said to her after I realized what she had said, and I said, you know, the Lord can't lie, you know, he told me, and he confirmed it to me, you know, and I believe what he said. And she was just like, okay, you know, so we went home, and my sister was trying to reassure me. She was building me up, medifying me in the car, and giving me things to remember, because she knew that although I was trying real hard to stand and think that I was being attacked and I was being, you know, told things that were trying to get me to not stand and learn and just give up, you know, what he had told me and to just go to man and to make things simpler for myself. And I didn't want to do that, but things were trying to make me, and so she was telling me, and she told me, you know, Chantel, my mother's life is going through the same thing, you know, but the Lord wanted her to trust him, and not her Doppler, and not the things that she had learned in all of her years of being a midwife, but he wanted her to be the things that she couldn't be, and trust the Lord, and the things that he could do, and, well, that eased me. That shut up the thoughts for a little while, and I was pretty excited for her, and I was excited for me, and then I was at home a couple of weeks, which I was at my mom's house a couple of weeks after, and the Lord had said to me as I was just in there, you know, that Chantel was going to call me. And I had asked the Lord, by the way, I had asked him, you know, is Chantel still going to be my midwife, like, afterward, because it seemed as though she had just given up, you know. She'd asked me this question, it seemed like the give-up question. And he said, you know, she was still going to be my midwife. At this point, he said that. And then 2 weeks later, he had said to me, Chantel to call you and tell you, you know, that she cannot be your midwife anymore. And I hadn't been thinking about it, it just kind of came in. And then the phone rang, and I knew that it was her. And I went to the phone, and I said, you know, I got it, you know, it's my midwife. It was kind of a strange thing to me, but afterwards, you know, I was very sure and very confident and didn't even think about it so that I could question myself or be questioned. And I went, and I answered, and sure enough, it was her. And she said to me exactly what the Lord just said, you know, I'm afraid that without pregnant test and without being able to find your fundus and without being able to cure the baby's heartbeat, you know, I'm not going to be able to be your midwife anymore. And, you know, because the Lord had just told me this, I was just full of some faith. And I was sure that what he had told me in this moment of my pregnancy, that what he had told me was true, and that, you know, I could go ahead and not be afraid that she wasn't going to be my midwife. So I said to her, okay, you know, can I call you when I go into labor, though? And she was like, okay. She was like, sure. And I was like, great, you know, well, I'll give you a call when I go into labor, you know, so that you can, you know, at least, you know, run me through it with your, you know, what I need to know and stuff. And she's like, okay, well, I'll talk to you later, sir. So, I hung up, and next thing on the list was, okay, now I gotta tell my husband we don't have a midwife. So, you know, I went home and I told him, and he was kind of upset with her, you know, because he kind of felt like, how can she be a good midwife and not be able to tell that I was 6 months pregnant? And I, although my husband didn't understand yet what the Lord was doing, I knew, you know, that the Lord was wanting her to believe these things. He was wanting her to trust him, and she was having a hard time. And I had a hard time, and that was okay. Because she was still going to be my sister-in-law's midwife. She was still going to get to hear about the testimony and what happened. So he ended up being okay with it, and because she said that we could call her, you know, it eased him and caused him to be content, at least for that time. So now we have 3 months left, and within the 3 months, we went camping and got stuff ready for the baby, and I was glad that I didn't have to go back over there anymore, you know, and it made explode this time, need to have peace and rest, and I didn't have to keep going and hearing how, you know, I couldn't hear this and I could do that, and, you know, although those were good opportunities for me to stand in faith against those things and to exercise my faith in the Lord, it really just became so heavy on me that I did need a moment, and I was really thankful to the Lord that he gave me that. So we went camping, and, you know, pretty soon October came, and October was when I was due, October 8th or 10th or something like that I was due, and my sister was due at the exact same time. We were due on the same date, and things all looked very normal. They all seemed very normal, except for her not being able to hear the heartbeat at 6 months. I had gained about 20 pounds, and I had got a lot of stretch marks, and, you know, besides myself, everyone could feel the baby move, except for my son. For some reason, every single time he touched my belly, the baby just would relax and wouldn't do anything. But everything seemed fine, and we knew that, you know, the time was coming, and we were all prepared and ready, and then the news came. Now, before I tell you about the next news, I should tell you that my sister and my brother that I told you about, that had asked me, they had prayed that the Lord give them a job. Well, something happened. Lots of things happened to them at the exact same time that I was going through this pregnancy. And my wife had prayed and had agreed that they would get this, that he would get this job, and that he would be able to do that. Well, during this period of being pregnant, he too went through a lot of giving the confession of, you know, the confession of good faith, and he went to work and told a lot of people about his new job, told him he had a new job, and when they asked him what his job was, he said, I don't know, you know. But we fit, and the Lord's going to give it to me. And then moments came when he was just like, forget it, you know, he's not going to give it to us. You know, he's just not going to, you know, he doesn't care that much about these little things, and he was being attacked a lot, too. And then they ended up having two dreams. They both dreamed that they had a girl, and then they both dreamed that they had a boy. And the last two dreams they had, they believed that the Lord had told them that they were going to have a boy, and they didn't ask him to confirm it. Because they both dreamed they had a girl, too, you know. But that was kind of in the past, and so by faith of these dreams that they had, they went and bought everything that was for a boy. And her midwife was saying, you know, you're going to have a girl based on the heartbeat and stuff, and, you know, and Jenny, my sister-in-law, just wanted to walk in faith. She was like, well, we're having a boy, you know, I don't believe it, and she went into labor. And when she was in labor, she knew that if Chantel said when the baby was born that it was a girl, she was going to have to not accept it because she believed the Lord told her they were having a boy. And, well, they had a girl. Her name is Zane, veins of Cora Danielle, and when the baby came out, Chantal said it's a girl, and Jenny said no, it's not. And well, that was the beginning of one thing and the end of another for both our families. My brother Dan was very frustrated, and when I got the news that she had a girl, I was excited and I was scared at the same time. I didn't understand what the Lord was doing, and I had been having my own problems, you know, and although the 3 months before this were really good and I had had rest and peace, you know, to see their faith that they had in this thing not be the way, not manifest the way that they had been believing for it, I was confused, and I had asked the Lord, Lord, why didn't you just give them a boy? You know, they had been believing for it. I don't understand, you know, what purpose is to serve, you know? How does this serve them? And my brother, because she was a girl, asked my sister-in-law, what's going to happen to Lisa? You know, what's going to happen to her? You know, she's been believing this whole time, you know, that she's going to have a baby. You know, and all those things look one way, I mean, over here, and they look another way over here, you know. How is she going to keep believing? And my sister said to my brother, when we dreamed that we had a boy, we never asked the Lord to confirm that. But Lisa's problem isn't going to be that she's not going to have a baby, because she over-confirmed it. And while I was pregnant, I didn't have to mention this earlier, but while I was pregnant, I had to ask the Lord many times because of the problems that came from the enemy and doubt in myself and double-mindedness that I had. Many, many times I would go to him and I would ask him. I would ask him more, you know, what's happening? What's going on? Why is she saying this? And before I knew it, you know, he wasn't answering anymore according to what he had answered me before. He didn't tell me that I wasn't pregnant. But he, I was asking other questions, like, is something going to happen to the baby, and is the baby sick, and, you know, what's going on? I have, against my husband's will, wanted a baby so badly that I really didn't care what he wanted. And sometime after the Lord told me I was pregnant, my conviction of this came very strongly on me, and I realized that in this way, you know, I had it against my husband because I really just didn't care. I had this urge to have a baby so badly that, you know, certain things transpired that, you know, caused me to become pregnant. Although it was the Lord, I'm not saying that, but in my mind at the time, you know, it had nothing to do with the Lord. I didn't go with him. I didn't go to the Lord and ask him to give me a baby. I just decided, you know, that I wanted one. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what my husband wanted. I never really thought about how it didn't matter what the Lord wanted, but since I didn't go to him, that was apparently what it was too. And when the conviction came to me, and because I was having doubt, and because the enemy was talking to me, and they were telling me things like, you know, there's something wrong with the baby, I'd ask the Lord, and the Lord was telling me there's something wrong with him. And I asked him, you know, is it because I have this sin on me, this unrepentant sin, and he said yes. And I knew, I'm walking right down what the Bible says to do, and I'm like, you know, I have to confess it, don't I? And he said yes, and I asked, in my comfort, can I confess it to my mom? And the Lord said no. And I thought, I can't even ask him if I can confess it to my sister-in-law because I have to confess it to my husband because, you know, if that's where it began. I didn't care what his will was about this. And I wasn't trusting the Lord about nothing. So I asked him. I was prepared to do whatever he told me to do because I was scared. I had the fear of the Lord in me now. And I asked him, do I have to confess this to my husband? And he said yes. And I was terrified. I was terrified to go and to confess this to my husband, but I just didn't care. And I was 55 minutes away from home. The closer I got to home, and I left right away, the closer I got to home, the harder it was. And I knew that I was going to have to just go right in there, and I was going to have to tell him. I went in, and I said, you know, I have something that I have to tell you. And it took me a long time to work up the nerve to say to him what I had to say. But I didn't want him to look at me like that. I didn't want him to think that that's the way that I was. And he was just like, just tell me, just say it, you know, just put it out. And finally I said it to him. And, you know, the Lord is quite amazing to me in these ways. Many times, you know, he has had me say things to my husband that I didn't think that I could possibly say for one reason or another. And the mercy of the Lord has come through my husband in ways that are astounding to me. And when I thought, and so deserved, my husband's behavior with me, and he bent over and he kissed me on the head and he said, you know, it's been a sign. And I was just crying. I had been crying the whole time. And he left, and I kind of felt like, what happened? You know, I thought he should be mad at me. At the very least, I deserved him to be mad at me. And, you know, to be angry and to say things to me. And he didn't. So, anyway, back to what I was saying before. I had had a whole lot of doubt. My brother had had a whole lot of doubt. And one thing was born, which they were supposed to be having faith in the fact the Lord was going to give them this job, but they ended up putting all their faith into these two dreams they had. And the job didn't manifest. It didn't come. And my sister had already quit her job. You know, they had a baby. And it was really hard on them. My brother became more angry and frustrated, and he wasn't reading the Bible anymore, and he, you know, just wanted to get up, and he wanted to keep telling my sister, well, you gotta go back to work because we don't have money for stuff, you know, we can't pay our bills, and we're falling behind, we're going in debt, you know, you gotta go back. And for me, I went into depression. I could still feel the baby moving, but he was fine. But as I became more and more with you, and the voices in my head became much louder, and although I knew how to fight them, although I had been fighting them for this long, and I had become very good at telling them that they didn't have no right, they didn't have no place, and I wasn't listening to them, and what the Lord said was what I was believing, you know, and, you know, they're in the spot they're in because they didn't want to believe the Lord in the first place, and I wasn't going after them, but I was going after the Lord. This is I had been fighting them. And I couldn't fight. I had what felt like I was just broken. Soon after Zane was born, I started having contractions, and I went into my mom's house, and my mom bought me a bed. We were going to have it at my mom's because the people at the place that we live in an apartment complex, they, and my husband works for it, he is the maintenance manager here, they didn't want me to have the baby here, and they, although it was fine and legal and everything, they just didn't want me to, and, you know, Pete, my husband didn't want me to have, he wanted me to have the baby home, but he didn't want to cause any problems before he would, so we were going to have it at my mom's house, and I went to her home, I was having contractions, they were 3 minutes apart, and, you know, things were going on, and I was in the bed, and, you know, people came to comfort me, my sisters, my mom, and my brother and sister, who, they just had a baby, they came over, and I was in the bathtub, and they called Chantel, you know, to find out if she was home, to see if I could come to her house so she could check me and see if I was dilated. And they called and she said yes. And so I quickly got out of the tub best I could, got myself around, got myself dressed, and they helped me out to the car, and we went to my midwife's house, by that time midwife's house, and she took and she did an exam on me, and she, first thing she did was she checked for my fundus, and she found my fundus this time. It was way up high, right where, you know, it should be, and she looked pretty confused by that. And she did an exam on me, and she discovered that I was 2 centimeters dilated, and now she's even more confused. And she looked really confused, and I said, okay, you know, well, thanks for seeing me and stuff, and I got back in the car, and we went back home. But then my contraction stopped. My contraction stopped, and I expected, you know, they would start back up again, and everything was fine, and I was believing everything was fine. Then they didn't start, and I went home, and we waited for them to start again. We waited, and we waited, and the longer we waited, the worse it got for me. And I went, and I got in bed, and I stayed in bed for about almost 3 months. And I was awake, I was crying, and most of the time I wasn't awake because I couldn't fight them. My family thought that I wasn't fellowshipping because I was just, you know, too pregnant. I wasn't driving the phone, I wasn't driving anywhere. And I wasn't taking phone calls. And while I was there, I became very sick. I had a terrible cough. I didn't have no fever. I didn't have any other signs, but I ended up getting a cough. I ended up having just like wheezing in my chest. And it was like some honey grease inside. And they started coming over anyway. And they came over about 3 times in the last part of the 2.5 months.